Being a mom is hard. We can't set that aside. It's challenging. It's messy. It's painful. And a lot of us are not called to that, especially the men. But, boom. You have all the different kinds of moms there. You got the mom that's haggard. This, you got the mom that says, okay, who did this now? And you often look like this in the morning, and then at the end of the day, you look like her. What was that person called? Carilla. Yeah, I knew you knew that. Yeah, you just start out Mary Poppins, and your day starts out, and some of you wake up Carilla, but we won't go there. But but you get the idea. You know, just moms are always challenged every day, and it's just something, a couple lines in there I like, is that I'm their mom. I'm their only mom. It's one of my favorite lines. But I want to share with you this morning, there are other moms, but there's only one biological mom. But there are other people that you look at as mom, like mom. And they come around in your life, and they make that metamorphosis from motherhood in specific to motherhood in general, where people in your life come into your life to be moms in your life. And today I want us to honor, truly honor, the women who have been like a mother to you. And you can think right now of people in your life, they're not your mother, but they were like a mother to you. And you're to honor them. We're going to start out in Romans chapter 16. If you haven't found Romans yet, just tucked away in chapter 16. There's a real cool line. A lot of people do not like reading genealogies in the Old Testament, and they do not like reading the end of the letters that Paul writes because he's got all this apparently non-specific stuff, but it's very specific. And he's giving all these greetings, and he greets all these different people, and he gets down to verse 13. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Real simple, and all these different greetings. He's greeting all the different people. And he gets to Rufus, and he says, greet Rufus and her mother and his mother, because she's mine too, in the Greek. She's my mother too. But what that means is she was like Paul's mother. So when he went to Rufus's house, well, let's say it that way, then Paul, you're nothing but skin and bones. Eat something. What's the matter with you? What, you've been busy? You look like you've been stoned all day. And just all these different things in life. I was trying to do Italian-Jewish, okay? Just didn't work there. But you get the idea. You know, just coming in. You know, you got the people in your family that are dimple makers. They grab your cheeks and they make dimples. Oh, look at you. You've been skin and bones, Junior. And so that's what happens with my grandmother and my family. And I've had people, too, who've been like in my life, the woman in my life have been like Rufus's mom. You got my aunt, my own grandmother. You know, they didn't want to supplant the mothers, but they supplement the mothers. I like what Robert shared with us on Tuesday. He had a circle of moms. So Robert, Lyle, and Wayne. And they'd go to their different houses, their house, and their moms would always be called mom. Right? You had that, right? You'd call them mom. Lyle and Wayne were and your mother was the mother to them. And what? Yes, exactly. And that's how it is. You have women in your life that are like moms to you. And they're not intending to supplant, but to supplement. And a lot of times your mom isn't fulfilling some of the duties, and that's okay. She's human. She only has certain gifts. But still, she's your mom. She's your only mom. And she stands firm. In my life, I had Mrs. Hendricks. We called her Mrs. H. Jean Hebert. Again, I mentioned my Aunt Rosie. That they're just my best friend in high school. She was like my mom, you know. And we just would always be at her house, and she treated us with respect and with dignity. And I just find that fascinating. Now let's jump to 1 Thessalonians. Now look at the qualities of this kind of mother, and mothers in general. Her qualities. 1 Thessalonians. We're looking at chapter 2 there. 6 through 9. Paul's kind of opening his heart up to the Thessalonians. Remember, he got ripped away from them by the persecution and was sent off to Berea. And the men were studying this in Acts, actually. So that's, I said, remember. The men should remember this. Verse 6 says, we are not looking for praise from men, not from you or from anyone else, as an apostle of Christ, the Messiah, who could have been we could have been a burden to you. But we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Verse 9. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil, our hardship. We worked night and day in order not to become a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. throughout these little verses here, these six, seven, eight, and nine, is the motif of a nursing mother. A nursing mother. And if you ever witness the nursing mother and the child, they're just so content. There's just this intimate bonding moment in their lives. And that's what Paul's referring to in this, is the, in their lives. The first thing is her praise. Her praise doesn't come from people. Out of her mouth, you will never hear her say, after all I've done for you, you will never hear her say, you don't appreciate me, because she's not doing it for that. She's doing it for the love of the Lord. You see that there? Second half of verse 6. As apostles of Christ, we now become a burden to you, but we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children. It's her praise. It's from the Lord. Verse 6. A, I said B tonight. Verse A. 6A. We were not looking for praise from people, from men, not from anyone or anyone else. The mother that's got her life so involved and entangled in her children that she's looking for praise for her children will be not only deeply disappointed, but what else will happen? What? What's the word? Oh, excellent. Yes, resentment will settle in. Yeah, deep resentment. Regrets. All this stuff that's going to haunt your life because you're trying to get something the kids cannot give you. They can't. How many parents try to live their childhood through their kids? And what do? They ruin their child. Child's already been ruined. Not going to ruin their kids. Don't do that. Live it for the Lord. Get your praise from the Lord. And that's where it comes from. Then 6b, her desire is not to be a burden. You notice that was said twice in here? Not to be a burden. And I find this fascinating because it's not a martyr complex. It's not a martyr complex. As long as you're happy, so it hurts me, it's okay. No. The rest of verse 6, as an apostle of Christ, we could have been burdened to you. Okay, they could have come in and said, you guys owe us because we're from the big guy here. All right? And in the last verse 9 there, surely you remember, brothers, our toil, our hard work, night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel to you. That's what moms do, the hard work. They're up early, they're up late, doing the hard work. Sometimes you never see it. You see the results, but you don't see them hard working sometimes because they're not doing it for you at the show. They're doing it for the Lord, and they don't want to be a burden to anybody. And notice that they're gentle among you like a mother. We talked about that again. I'm repeating it. But we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little child. Have you ever noticed how small babies are? This is scary, so go with me. And I'm going to walk you through a real scary moment. Children are so helpless. Among the animals, if you want to go with evolution just for fun, they are the most helpless beings next to sheep. Right? Sheep have nothing to defend them except a shepherd. And babies have nothing to defend them except a mom. Yeah. Now, baby bears, what do they got? Claws. They got claws and teeth. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Baby birds? Yeah, they got the nest, they got beaks, they got talons. They've got something to defend themselves, but babies have nothing. Babies have gums, no teeth. Right? Babies don't have claws. And when they finally get those claws, they scratch their face. So you have the little mittens on them, right? Yeah, yeah. So babies are really helpless. They have nothing to offer except just sitting there, right? And looking cute. Yes, beautiful. And that's the beauty of it all, that the mother's caring for this child. She's super bigger than this child, and yet she's gently caring for it. And we're gentle. You've heard it before, and one of the fruit of the Spirit is its strength and control. The mother could crush that child. You've read about stuff like that, right? Where women kill their babies. It's sickening. And yet, a mother, one who earns the right and is the mother, gently takes care of the child, gently nurtures the child, gently protects the child because they know the child is very helpless and really has no other defense but them. And that's their motivation. That's their delight. That's their delight in it all. Her sincere love for the child. This spurs her on. And we talked about this a bit on Digging Deeper, how men really don't get it sometimes. We have a different bonding with children. And usually happens between 3 and 4 when they can finally throw a ball. I'm joking, obviously, but you get the point. When they can finally interact with you, whereas the mother has been carrying that child for 9 months and has some kind of bonding that we don't understand. And when the baby comes out, even after all this pain, right? And they're yelling at us, I hate you, you know, whatever is happening during the actual moment, okay? All right, the baby comes out and all that's gone. The heartburn's gone, okay? Everything's, and then you lay the baby on your chest, and my goodness, you've seen those moments? And we don't get that as men. We don't get that bonding moment. But somehow the fruit of your labor, the fruit of your womb, if you will, is there. And the bonding that takes place, this deep, sincere love. And Paul's using this as an example of his love for the church at Thessalonica. And that's how the women who are like mothers to you love you. And you cannot believe, this is hard to accept. You cannot believe that someone can love you. But these people love you. Unconditionally. Patiently and kindly. The 1 Corinthians 13 love that you can't explain. Even when they get all upset and leave their trash and the Batman underwear on the floor, you know, and all that, you know, they still love you. And so her qualities, the qualities of this type of mom, her praise comes from the Lord, her desire is not to be a burden, and her motive is this sincere, deep love. Verse 8, let me read it to you. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel, but what? Our lives as well. This is not something that's outside them. This is something from within. This tangible, deep love that comes from within. Jesus' point number one, building families. Be that mother to other children who need a mother, especially your own. And you will have the opportunity to be mothers to other children. I've known childless families over the years, and they've had the opportunity, like Priscilla and Aquila, who were childless, to be able to be mother and fathers to way more children than they could have been. As a coach and as a teacher, I have no boys. And I never really knew if I wanted boys or not. But I look at how I deal with boys now, and I'm glad I had daughters, is all I got to say. Boys are really hard. The boys I've had on my soccer team, most of them are really smart. Others just stare at you even when you're saying their name and they're still staring. It's like they're brain dead. And I have a joke. It used to be 30, then it was 40, now it's 60. But most boys are brain dead till 60, okay? They just stare at you. And now I'm becoming a man because something happened on my right side of my brain. But all that being said, it's like I really relate to women more than men because I just don't get this. But the point is, though, is that the love that we have from our mothers just sometimes never came through. And I didn't understand that love until I watched my wife with her kids. And then I started to understand it, and then I echoed that back with her mother and the tradition that they had, because I never bonded with my mother. You know, I'm learning how to, matter of fact, a lot of the morphosis I'm going through is try to love my mom. Okay, it's part of that. And was not her fault. She had a lot of issues and didn't know how to deal with them, and in that era, they didn't have counseling and all this other fun stuff. So I want to encourage you women to be that mother, because other people need you, whether you have children or not. Okay, even young people be a mother figure. You know, you never know how that works out. But you also have a mother figure. So be that mother who desires to please the Lord and make him, not the child or you, the center of the universe. Be that mother who desires deeply to not be a burden, not with a martyr complex, but rather with true sacrificial heart of love. Be that mother who indeed has the delightful, sincere love for that child. Not out of selfish ambition, not out of an ulterior motive, oh, what am I going to get out of this relationship? Be that mother. Now, often you will need to have to go out of your way. This is not an either-or situation. It was really hard growing up with my dad as my coach because I had to call him coach and not dad. So I let my kids call me dad on the team. And I had to learn over the years to play my children just as much as they were deserved to play, no less. Now, it didn't hurt that I was one of the better players, not on my team only, but in the league, so I got to play more. But when your child is not the best person in the team and they're still playing, you know, you got to be careful. Fortunately, all my daughters are talented enough to be good enough to play more. But my first daughter didn't get to play as much, and I learned by the third daughter to play her the right amount. So I didn't play favorites. And a lot of times, there'll be people in your life that you're a mother to that your family will feel resentful for, is what I'm getting at. So you can't do this either or. You got to do both and. But you equally understand it, because otherwise you'll create a Joseph, okay? So, lest you feel inadequate with all these charges, right? You can't do this. No, you can't do this. That's why we need Jesus. So, Lord Jesus Christ, be this type of mother in my life. Empower me to please you in all I do. Real simple prayer, but real powerful prayer. A lot of times we get to the place where we start to get frustrated and we act out of that frustration, start yelling and screaming instead of praying. Now, it's easy when the moment's there, right? You just feel so spiritual when the moment's there. You just stubbed your toe and the Batman underwear on the floor, you know, and you feel like singing a song. Okay? No, you got to be pre-prayed up. So before everybody gets up, that's what you're praying. So this is a little practice prayer for everybody. So let's pray this together for you ladies. So I'm just hearing women's voices, guys. So hang out in this one. Okay. So do you want to start them then? So everybody listen to this. Kathy will start everybody, okay? If I started you, I'd have to like this. Okay.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Real simple prayer, real powerful prayer. Again, what's fascinating, I just heard a real cool sermon from Irwin McManus this week. When we come to Jesus, we think everything's going to get real easy, and we forget Jesus talked about the cross. And here's a guy who went to the cross teaching us the way of peace and all that, and yet we think, oh, life's going to be easy. So once you do this prayer, it's going to be simple piece of cake, right? No, then you're going to get the trial, the practice. And I shared a little bit with you. I've been going through this massive metamorphosis since January. The Lord's just changing me. In just a couple weeks, I went through another major situation to test this. Have I really changed? And what I'm going through is just amazing how much I've not reacted like I used to. And we're just talking 6 months ago. So, you're going to have fun, man. Hey, I got a chance to practice. Yes, Jesus is going to come through, amen? I'm sorry, Jesus is going to come through, amen?
Amen?
Yes, I didn't think I stuttered that too fast. All right, Jesus point number two, remember. And then honor those who've been like a mother to you, especially your own mom. And again, I've been embarrassed over the years, and one of the things I said earlier is that the Lord is bringing me to a place to see the good things that my mother did for me and to me and the good woman she was. It was really hard because all the other stuff was way bigger, and now it's gotten smaller. It's not that the stuff that was bad is not there. It's just that what did the Lord do with it? And so now, maybe it was three or four things. Okay, the first thing was she gave birth to you. Okay, if you go beyond everything else, your mom gave birth to you. And after 1973, she chose not to abort you legally. Okay, so if you've been born after 1973, you should be grateful your mom gave birth to you. All right, number one. Number two, you're here. You're alive. Your mother didn't kill you after you were born. So you've got two blessings right there, if at the very least. You got two blessings, but there's so much more, isn't there? There's so much more that you can be thankful for. And then you step back and you look at the other women that were mothers in your life, and you go, thank you, Jesus, for these women. Thank you, Jesus. Now, who said this morning they got a card from somebody else? A Mother's Day card? Nancy, you got a Mother's Day card from someone?
Kenny.
Yeah.
A message.
Right, but still a text. Yeah. But still, that's okay to do stuff like that. Cards, texts, just say, thank you for being like a mom to me. And I used to do that years ago, and for some reason I just stopped a couple, 4 years ago. But we need to keep doing that. What are some other ways we can honor the women who are like mothers in our lives? Yes?
Talk to them
any day, yes?
Write a
song for them, sure. Poetry, song. Listen to their advice. One of these days, Alice, yeah. Spend time with them. Yes, very good. Especially when they've gotten older. Yeah, you could go back and say thank you for that, you know, and just spend time with them. That's good. Any other ones? No more? One more? I'm faking till I'm going to. All right. So what I want to do now, this is just for moms. We did the womanhood earlier. This is for moms. Your mother, I want you to stand and we're going to applaud you. And did I show you where this came from? Was it a year ago already? Was it last year? That Janie passed away? 2 years now? A real close friend of mine, like a sister to me, she passed away in a tragic accident. I was asked to do the funeral, but somebody else ended up doing the funeral. So he did something really strange. He had them applaud her. And initially I was just, And then as the Lord got through that stuff with the 2x4, I think it was 4x4, it's, oh, wow, what a neat idea. So I've been doing that ever since. To just honor the women in our lives while they're alive. So I want us to applaud the women in our life that are mothers this morning. So if you all stand, if your mom, and everybody else gets to applaud them. So. Okay? Thank you. You may be seated. In a culture that's so confused, you know, not only just roles and genders, everything else, we need to really set a boundary. You're a mom, and that's good. You're a homemaker, and that's good. Amen? Okay, now, let me bless the women. So y'all, the men can join me too. Y'all can stand. I'm going to bless the women particularly here. Let's stand. I'm borrowing it a little bit from Ephesians 3, 16 to following, and I'm adding some things too. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, out of your glorious riches, strengthen these women, these mothers, with power through your Holy Spirit in their inner being, so that the Lord Jesus Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith. And I pray that they, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that they may be filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine according to His power that is at work within us, in you, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. May you have a blessed Mother's Day.